How many of you guys like that word, right? Not many of us like that word. We have been, we spend a lot of time on work. A lot of people have had conversations throughout the years in ministry where people look at me, it's like, does my work matter? Does God care what I do, Sam? I mean, what I do seems to be so like insignificant to what God really is all about. And the idea is that God does care about what you do and what you do for a living. I was looking at some statistics, and I was just surprised about all the time that we spend with work. Let me tell you this. Average worker is expected to work 2,080 hours a week. That's based on a 40-week hours of work, right? Every week you work 40 hours. If you add that all up in a year, you work 2,080 minutes, right? That's a lot of time. That's a lot of, for me, it's a lot of time. Now, a lot of people work 40 to 45 years in their lifespan, right? They spend about 45 years working. And if you add those hours all together, you work 93,000 hours and 600. 93,600 hours in your life is devoted to work. We spend a lot of time of our lives doing what? Doing work, right? So there must be some kind of God factor in our work hours, because we spend a lot of time in our work. A lot of people, a lot of us Christians, we compartmentalize our lives. We divide our lives in different pieces, and we say, these areas God can touch, but these areas God cannot touch, and work is one of those areas where we do not bring God to it. What we do in work, it doesn't matter to God. We think that way, so we say, whatever I do here stays here, and God doesn't really care. He turns his eyes from it. But reality is, if you spend most of our times on a day at a workplace, God got to be in somehow, somewhere, right? Let me do a little comparison for you. Working parents, two parents working. They spend together 4 hours and 160 minutes at work. How many hours do you think the combined they spend with their family on a weekly basis? They work 40 hours a week, right? Combine 80 hours combined on the workplace. How many hours combined do you think a working parent spend with their family, together and with their kids? You can shout it out. You know, you can, there's no wrong answer here. Although I'm always right. Shout it out. 10 more. Huh? Less. 21 hours a week. People spend 40 hours. The average American works actually 52 hours a week, and they spend 20 hours with their family. Here's the kicker, though. Working parents, spend 28 hours a week on an average working on their house chores, planting flowers, cutting the grass, painting the wall, whatever that might be, working in their house, doing housework, more time doing that than spend time with their families. Our life seems to be lived at work. Our work becomes part of the most important part of our day. Some people love work, thrive on it, and identify to it, and spend countless hours on it. The workaholics, people. Their success comes by how many hours they spend at workplace. Some other people, they hate work. They view it as a necessary evil, a means to an end, and spend time dreading, and seems like the hours never end, so they detest going to work. But here's the thing, if you like or don't like work, the fact is this, whether you like it or not, work is part of life. You can't take that away. Without work, there would be no way to provide for our families, and we couldn't do some of the things that we like to do all the time. So in a proper conversation over work, we need to define the word work. And this is how I'm going to define the word work. Work is being engaged in a physical or mental activity in order to achieve a purpose or a result. Let me say that again. Work is being engaged in a physical or mental activity in order to achieve a purpose or a result. That's what work is. Being engaged with something that will come, well, that will be a result in the end of it. Every time you get to know somebody, right, there's several questions you ask. You ask the name, where you live, and one of those questions is like, where do you work, right? We ask these questions because so many times your identity, your worth comes from where you work and what you do for a living. So immediately as you're asking that question, people will judge you for the answer that you give. Some people would either like nod and smile approving what you do, and some people will look at you like, what in the world? You know, right? Have you ever been there? You tell people what you do, and people are like, what? Let me tell you a story, right? Like one time, Laura and I were invited to this birthday party. These people invited us to a birthday party. The birthday party was in a bar. So we go, we got there, we're sitting there on the table. There's about, 12, 15 people sitting on the table with Laura and I, and they all do their thing, and Laura and I were sitting there, and everybody having fun. We were talking and having fun, and the conversations here and there, and some people start asking, like, what do you do for a living? And it started in the guy beside me, and I was like, oh, no. It's coming. Here I'm in a bar, you know, with all people. Like, pastors don't go to bar, right? Maybe, you know. So we go there, so they ask, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a human resource representative, and all these things. And it came to me, you know, I was like, they were like, what do you do for a living, Sam? And I was like, I'm a pastor. When I said I was a pastor, everybody was like, oh, hide the beers, turn it off, the cigarettes. And like the lady turned to me, she's like, I just cussed. I was like, it's okay. You do whatever you feel like judged, right? It's like, well, you're fine. I'm sure you have gone through that. The other day we went paintballing with the high schoolers, and we were in the car with Trey Green. He was driving the car, and one of the deacons here at the church, and we were telling his stories about getting tickets in, you know, driving cars and getting tickets and all this stuff. And he's my insurance agent, man. I should have, like, thought about it before I was saying all that. He racked up my prices and all this stuff. It's like, Sam, you're grounded. Can't drive it anymore. You tell people what you do they judge you right away for what? There's stereotypes, right? I was hanging out with a police officer last night. And we talk about stereotyping, you know, donuts and glasses, right, Ron? Like, they have all these stereotypes that, you know, they come. Like, people judge you right away. Your worth and your identity somehow is tied up with your work and what you do. But here's the thing about the Bible tells us that our identity and our worth does not come from what we do every day. It really comes from who we are in Jesus Christ. Our living is about Jesus. The living is for Christ. We are not defined by the work we do, by the jobs that we hold. Our worth does not come by that either. We are defined by Jesus, and worth comes from being a child of God. We are a new creation. And our relationship with Jesus Christ is what matters the most. We forget about that a lot of times. And we check Jesus out of our lives every time you get in a car and drives to work. Now I'm this, now I'm that. No, we don't. We live for Jesus 24/7, 360 days a year. We are Jesus people. We're not our own. We have been purchased with His blood. And we have a privilege of serving the Lord with our lives. And that's why your work matters. Because at your workplace, we find the opportunity to serve Jesus in that place. But many of us don't see us doing that, right? We think of a workplace as serving somebody else, serving a boss or serving a company or the CEO of the company or a name brand. But reality is that God has called you to be in that place, so that you can serve Him there. So if it matters to God, it's important for us to learn a little bit about what the Bible has to tell us about work. We ought to get this worldview, this biblical worldview of work. So today, the message is not inspirational. It is more of an educational, really creating awareness in your mind and in your heart about what the Bible has to say about work and why it matters to God. And I would like to start that with the first verse is this, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 tells us this, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. See, here's the thing about God. In the beginning, God created. And what did God did for 6 days? What did he do for 6 days? He worked. Work is something that God did and something that God does, right? He created us in his image, and being part of God and having the God image in us in part is this idea that we were created to work. We were created to work. So God creates Adam and Eve and creates the garden and say, here, work and tend it. Take care of it. Here's what this verse is telling us. It's indicating that God is the one who places you where you are. Have you ever thought of that? The place you're working right now, you were there because God have put you there. Oh, but I hate what I do, Sam. God would never do that to me. It's like, it's a matter of perspective, and I hope to change that today for you. God has put you in that place so that you'd serve him, and his name would be honored and glorified through all the things that you do. Work is something that God does. A lot of us think of God as this old guy, right? We have heard this many times. Old guy sitting on a throne, drinking water and eating some grapes or something. I don't know. He's just sitting there. No, reality is God is an active God. He's alive and well, and he's living, and he's acting in our lives. He's working for us, his people. Another verse that I love that talks about work is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, but really verses 10 to 12. This is what it says. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Do you hear that? Let me say that again. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Man, Paul is really to the point here, right? And the key word there is the word willing. I know there's a lot of people that are looking for a job and they can't find a job. They want to work, but really haven't gone through the interview process and haven't got one. I'm praying for you, okay? Let me know. Put it in the connection card. I'll be praying for you that God will bless you with the job that you can glorify him well. But that's not what Paul is talking about. He's talking about people without the willingness to work. He's like, in the church, there is no such a thing as lazy people. We are all ought to be willing to work if we're going to eat. Look what else he says. For we heard that some among you walk in idleness, in laziness. I have heard that some of you are lazy. Not busy at work, but busybodies. He's like, I have heard that some of you guys are just sitting around doing nothing. And the word busybody here is the word for gossiping in the Greek, right? Just gossiping about people's life. Instead of doing good work, earning a living, you're just sitting around gossiping about other people. He's like, that's not going to happen. Go find yourself a job. Now, such persons we commend and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. So Paul said, listen, can't just be idle. You ought to have the willingness to work. And the work work can be, there's a variety of professions out there, right? There's stay mom homes, there's lawyers, there's pastors, there's police officers. I mean, you name it, there is out there. So Paul is saying, listen, go find something that you can glorify God with your life and get on doing it. Get on doing it. Another verse that I love is Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. He says, Solomon says this, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Oh, man. He's saying, whatever you're going to do, whatever you find yourself doing, two weeks from now, I'm going to talk about this idea that we got to find this perfect job, this idea of a perfect job. You know, God has this perfect job for me, and if I don't find that job, I'm doomed, right? We have all heard that and seen that. It's God wants you to do whatever you find that you do it well. That's what he's saying here, Solomon saying, whatever you find to do, do it with your might. Give it 100%. You know, and that's what God wants from us, is that whatever we do, that we'll do it 100% with all your might. Working for God and giving 100%. Excellency is the word that comes to mind. We ought to do things with excellency. It doesn't matter what you're doing. God requires that we do with excellency. And the last verse that I want to bring to your attention, and is the one that is really driving this series for me, is Colossians chapter 23 and 24, or chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. This was the first verse I remember memorizing. My mom and dad made me memorize this verse young. I was taught this verse young because my mom and dad always told me that life, it is not about me. Life is not about people. Life is about Jesus Christ. So he told me, they made me memorize this verse, and it's the verse that is driving this sermon series. And this is what Paul tells the church in Colossae. Whatever you do, work wholeheartedly as for the Lord and not for men. Don't you love that verse? Don't you love that? So many of us think that our workplace, that we are working wholeheartedly, that we are giving 100% to the company, to the bosses, to the people that we are serving. But reality is, you're not serving people. You're not serving your bosses. You're not serving your company, the company that you work for. The reality is that Christians understand that our life, it is about Jesus. And whatever we do, that we work 100% in it, it is for Jesus. I love the word whatever here. Whatever you do. You know, can you help me define the word whatever? You know, I don't know English. By now, you know that my English is horrible, right? So help me out. Help me out. Define for me the word whatever. What does the word whatever mean? Anything. Anything you do. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You do it with your might. You do it for God. Whatever you do, work wholeheartedly. That's for the Lord, not for men. Let's continue. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. I think so many of us forget this idea, right? We work 40 hours, 50 hours a week, and we work hard. And we think our reward comes from the boss in the end of the week when he hands you a paycheck. Right? It's like, I got a reward from my boss. Let me tell you who gives you the reward. The guy who allows your boss to write the check, his name is Jesus. All right? He is the one, knowing that from the Lord you receive the inheritance as your reward. You receive from the Lord what God has to give you. God. It is the motivation for our work, for our work life. It is God who should be our motivation to work. It is God who gives us the reward from the toil, from the work of everyday life that we do. He says, you are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And there is no partiality. Man, if I had to summarize this whole verse, I think Paul is telling us this. Listen, you ought to engage the world in a way that is impactful and influential. Because that's what God calls us to do. God calls us in Matthew to be light in this dark world. And guess what you are in your workplace? You are light in your workplace. That's what we are called to do. We are called to be influential, to impact for Jesus. Because everything we say and do, it is about Jesus Christ. I love what Martin Luther the King Jr. said as a quote that I really think it is very appropriate for to illustrate this passage from Paul and what we're talking about this morning. This is what he says. If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as a Michelangelo painted. Or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. How are you doing in your job? Are you working it well? If not, I think if you understand that God is the motivation for our work, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you do it well. I Lacre, one a Christian rapper, he was talking about this idea of Christians engaging the culture and changing the culture for Jesus Christ. And he put a quote, he had a quote, I have it here for you. I really want to bring this quote out because it really helps us understand this idea of work. What we do, it can either be good or bad, is on us. This is what he says. God has structured things for his glory and his goodness, and humanity is directing it in towards evil or towards good. If you are going to engage culture, it's about taking the things you are skilled at and asking, how can I direct them in a good way? How can you direct what you're doing in a good way? So this idea, so understanding that works matter to God, it is important because you start to driving work to a good way. The biblical teaching of work, it is one of the most powerful means that God provides for us to shape and influence our culture. God has put you in the place that you are right now so that you can influence it and shape it for God. So that's the biblical worldview. And let me tell you a little bit about the cultural worldview. I think about the world and what they think about it. A little restaurant comes to mind. A little word comes to mind. TGIF. What does that stand for? Thank God it's Friday. That's the attitude that people in the world have about work. And many of us have that attitude too. We don't see work as a blessing from God to our lives, as us being able to influence and shape the world. We see it as this punishment. A lot of the world see work as a punishment. It's the most common view that we have. We have TGI Friday. You see people saying it's back to the greed. You know, the weekend was too short. Many of you have heard the expression, freedom 45 for 55, right? That's when you retire 45 years into work or 55 years into working. This reflects people's hopes of retiring, you know, and being done with work. It's like, this is a pain. I don't want to do this anymore. We forgot that God has instituted work so that we would glorify him with everything we say and we do. Few months ago, I kind of warned you a little bit. On a Monday morning, I opened my Facebook, and yes, I do Facebook, right? Everybody does it. If you don't do it, you're not cool. So I opened my Facebook on a Monday morning. All that I saw was like people complaining, oh, it's Monday, I gotta go to work, and I hate Mondays. And I'm like, what? This is the day that the Lord has made. You should be glad and rejoice in it. He has given you breath of life for you to go out there and represent him into the world so that you can shape and influence and give God the glory. And here we are complaining about Monday. I was like, we can't do that. There's dignity at work. There's purpose in work. And the purpose of work is to give God glory. To glorify God with everything we say and do. We have bought in this story that the world lives by. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of this pessimism on work comes from a story, a Babylonian story of creation. The Babylonians had this story of creation that says this. There was a battle breakdown in the heavens between two gods. The first one was Marduk, and the other one was Tiamat. I can't speak English, let alone Babylonian, right? So there was these two gods, they got into the fighting, Marduk won, right? He won, and then he created the world out of the body of the guy who lost. Messed up, right? So he created the world from the body of his enemy, Tiamat. The other gods that was there, presented the fight, said this, now that you have created the earth, you have to work and keep it. Now that you created something, you got to work and keep it. So Marduk replies, I will create a lowly creature called man to take care of it. And this is how the world came into being. It is a punishment from the one God towards this low creature. And that's not what the Bible has taught us or speaks of work for us. It is a stewardship. We are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. And life is for us to enjoy and to have fun. Work's not a punishment. Work has dignity. Work is something that God does. God created us to work. Work is part of what it means to be a human. But ultimately, work is about glorifying God. I have one last verse for you, and this verse is chapter 90, verse 17. Psalm 90, 17 says this, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. I love the word favor here. Help me out again. What does the word favor in this context mean? Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. What does the word favor mean? Like, let the favor of your dad be upon you, or let the favor of your boss be upon you. What, favor in that context, what does it mean? Huh? Loveliness? Blessings? The idea that is of a special treatment. Let God's special treatment, love, blessing, be upon you. Let Him establish the work of your hands. Let me tell you this. He not only puts you in a place, He is the one that makes you succeed in a place. So if you take God out of the occasion, we start to find that we have no purpose, and life does not start to add up, and we start to pursuing job after job after job after job because we can't see our purpose in that place. See, God is the one who blesses you, and He's the one who establishes your work. So many of us in our lives, in our workplace, is not going well. Things are not going good. Let me tell you, you need to start speaking Psalm 97 in your life. God, I need your favor in this place because you put me here, and I need you to establish my work because you are the one who makes me successful in this place. Not myself, not my boss. I'm not meeting people's expectations. I'm waiting on God to establish me and to bless me with His love and care. This is one of the reasons God created the heavens and the universe. Is that we would live in a way that would glorify Him. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1 says this, "The heavens are telling of God's glory, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth His speech, and night to night reveals His knowledge." See, everything that God created was meant to glorify Him. God created you so that you would glorify Him in your workplace. I hope that the remaining of this sermon series to continue to flush it out, this idea of glorifying God through our workplace, finding purpose in our workplace, so that we would understand that our work matters to God. Let me pray. Jesus.